Turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. We'll be talking about Caleb. I've been looking at Caleb for several weeks now, reading. I never paid any attention to Caleb before. He was just the guy that was with Joshua, and he said, "Get, you know, I can take this mountain." And, you know, he was one of the ones that declared faith and always focused on Joshua. But I began to look at Caleb because I suddenly got interested in Caleb because I saw somebody showed what his name actually means. And I don't know that we're going to get into it today, but the name Caleb actually means dog. How would you like to be named dog? Here, dog. Amen. Why, where you got that name? Boy, there's a lot of Calebs today. Is there any Calebs in here? I apologize. Your name doesn't mean that. It's just Caleb in the Bible. You know, that was his name. But we're going to get into some meaning of that later on. But I want us to read in Numbers chapter 13. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel.'" I want you to remember that statement. "From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." Another thing I want you to remember. Every one a leader among them. "So Moses sent from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, and all them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now these were their names from the tribe of Reuben, Shamua." Y'all pronounce these however you want to. I'm going to give the hillbilly version. "The son of Zachor, from the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. From the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu." I'm glad I'm named Tim. I mean, you know. "From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi. From the tribe of Joseph," that is, "from the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi. From the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of..." You get the point. "These are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land.' Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath." Now Moses picked leaders of the tribes of Israel, men who were leaders. He wasn't appointing leaders. He was calling up the people, the men that had already proven themselves to be leaders of the tribes. Amen. So he wasn't saying, "Okay, we want this one to be a leader." But no, he's going out and he's saying, and they're just picking the ones that are already have the leadership skills and already are demonstrating the power and the authority of leadership. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, represented the tribe of Judah. Now the name Judah means praise. So Caleb represented the tribe of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Now on over in I believe it's the 32nd chapter. Let's go to the 32nd chapter. This is when they went back. This is the time that they had wandered in the wilderness, and now they're back. And in chapter 32 and verse 12, it's talking about none of the ones that brought back an evil report, nobody over the age of 20 was going to go in or in. And so now they're back, and he says, Jacob, in verse 11, it says, Jacob, because they were not wholly followed me, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Now, I want you to notice, it says, the Kenizzite. This is the only time that it declares Caleb being the son of Jephunneh, who is a Kenizzite. The word Kenizzite, the name Kenizzite, comes from Kenaz. Kenaz was the great-grandson of Esau, not Jacob. Caleb somehow had become the leader of the tribe of Judah, even though he was not a Hebrew. He was a descendant of Esau. Now remember last week we talked about how Esau did everything that was wrong. He went against everything his parents wanted him to do. He married those that were not legal to marry. And then after he didn't get the blessing, he showed them, and he just went and married a granddaughter of Ishmael. He was going to show them just, you know, I'm just going to rebel. Now, the descendants of Esau are the ones that established a country we know as Russia. Also established a country we know as China. And also Japan. But most of the descendants of Esau settled in, trying to think of the name of it. Starts with a J. Slipped my name. Just to the west or the east of Israel. Jordan. Thank you. Somebody called it out. Jordan. And so most of the descendants of Esau ended up in the Jordan area, but they spread all over, and they established Russia and China. We see something going on there, don't we? Is there a few problems with Russia and China? Yeah. Yeah, who is it that's going to come against Israel in the last days? Amen. We're Gog and Magog, and then China's going to come from the east. And, you know, we see all this playing out. But somehow, Jephunneh incorporated and was a proselyte. Either Jephunneh or Caleb was a proselyte of the Hebrew faith, the faith in God, come under Jacob, who got the promise and the blessing. Remember, Esau did not get a blessing. He got a curse. And the word of, in that word where he says, you know, the dew and the fat of the land, of, it means from. So Esau was actually separated from blessing. He was separated from provision. He was separated from the blessing of God and the fatness of the land and the dew of the earth. And so we see somehow that a descendant of Esau ends up somehow in Egypt with the Hebrews, and Caleb come in. I don't know if it's Jephunneh. There's not a lot of history about that. I have read writings of rabbis. I've deep dived this thing, and nobody knows how Jephunneh and Caleb ended up with the Hebrews in Egypt, but they did. And then Caleb, who was a proselyte, was not a descendant of Jacob, but was a descendant of Israel, but was a proselyte of the Hebrews and of the Jewish faith and the worship of God. He come in and he married somebody by the name of Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron. So here, somebody that has no promise, has no covenant, has no blessing, somehow gets incorporated and becomes a proselyte. See, the only way that Esau could have blessing was to come under Jacob. And here the descendants of Esau we see coming under Jacob. And they came into the blessing. Now Caleb, whose name means dog, ends up marrying Miriam, had a son by the name of Hur. Remember who it was that held up the hands of Moses. It was Aaron and Hur. It was a descendant of Caleb. And so Caleb found himself in a place of leadership and leadership quality, and the blessing of the Lord came on somebody who was separated from blessing and had no blessing. But now Caleb, a descendant of Esau, finds himself in a position of inheriting the blessing of Jacob and walking as a leader. And not only was a leader of a tribe, but Esau wept bitterly. He wept bitterly when he didn't get the blessing, but Caleb ends up being the leader of the tribe that is called Praise. I want you to know something. There's a restoration in God when we submit ourselves to his word, when we submit ourselves to his will. There's a restoring power of God, and we might have been driven away and cut off. The Gentiles were cut off from the covenant, cut off from God, cut off from the blessing, but all of a sudden there's somebody that come in and brought us back under the blessing. And all you have to do today is humble yourself and accept the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. And next thing you know, you are redeemed. We have no right to the covenant. We have no right to the blessing as Gentiles. But Jesus, the Son of God, broke down the middle wall of separation, broke down the barrier, and those who were afar off now has been brought near, and me and you today are under covenant, and we have covenant with God. We are under the blessing of God because Jesus shed his blood, and now we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and we have come into the blessing of God. I don't know about you, but I find it amazing how God can restore. Hallelujah. When Caleb, a leader of the tribe of Judah, he goes into the land, and 10 of the spies were determined to stop this. Why do people do this? Even today, you see people that are determined to stop people from receiving the blessing of God. Whether they be worldly or whether they be in the church, there are people that are absolutely determined to stop the blessing of God from flowing in people's lives and try to get us to settle for the least of everything. But I got to tell you something today. The door has been flung wide open. I have been redeemed. I have been brought in. My Father is God Almighty. I am redeemed by Jesus, and I have a seat at the table, and now I have access to the full blessing of God. Nobody can deny me the blessing of God because by blood I have been redeemed. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Ah, thank you, Jesus. We are redeemed. I've got a daughter-in-law, Natalie, or Natalie, that is Jewish, and I'm German, and we have had a lot of fun with that. I'm constantly giving her a hard time. I told her the other day, I said, you know, I've been thinking about shaving all this off, just leaving a little patch right here, just. Of course, it just lights her up. You know, she just comes, you know, you can't get ahead of her. She goes after me with a vengeance. I mean, just terrible. And I can't get ahead of her. She's always got to come back better than mine. But Caleb, can you imagine this process? All of a sudden, the descendant of Esau begins to incorporate, and somehow, I don't know how it happened, somehow ended up in Egypt with the Hebrews and came out of Egypt with them, married Miriam, had a son by the name of Hur, and they adopted him. He was adopted into the Hebrew family, and once you're adopted into the Hebrew family, you are as a son. There is no difference. They don't treat you any different. You hear what I'm saying? Matter of fact, in adoption, in the Old Testament, when somebody was adopted into a family, they were as a son. Matter of fact, they were treated better. Did you know that even today that you can deny your blood children to be heirs? You can deny them whatever you have left when you die. You can disown them, but you cannot disown an adopted child legally. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know about you, but that gives me hope, because the spirit of adoption has come into me to where I now cry, Abba, Father, and I can't be robbed of the inheritance. I'm an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now Caleb went in to spy out the land, and it was quite a place. And when they went in, he went to Hebron. See, Caleb at one point split off from the rest of them, and he went to Hebron, which is where Joshua gave him the land when they went back in, and he said, I can take this land. You know why? Because that's the place where the giants were. That's the place where the sons of Anak was. And Caleb, at 80-some years old, when he got back, he declared his faith 42 years ago, and now he's back, and he's saying, I have not changed. I can still take this land. I can still drive the giants out. My faith hasn't withered. Oh, I'm looking for some people that can hang on to the Word of God and not let their faith wither because of the hard trials and the things that we have to go through. But our faith stays strong. And when God brings us back to the place of promise, we say, I have not diminished in one bit. I can still do what you told me I could do. I'll still take this land. But see, Caleb broke off, and he went and visited the tombs of the patriarchs. He went and visited the tombs of Abraham and Sarah. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about somebody that was cast out, somebody that had no promise, somebody that had no covenant, and all of a sudden gets grafted in and gets adopted in, and next thing you know, he has taken full possession of everything. I mean, he is the blessed of the Lord, and he is honoring Abraham and Sarah, and the rest of the group. The other 10 decided that they were not going to bring back a good report. I mean, they talked about this. I've studied so many writings of rabbis and Jewish tradition on this, and they were not going to. They decided in the promised land, when they were spying it out, they got together and decided, we are not going to bring back a good report because there's no way we can take this land. But you got to understand, see, Canaan, the Jephunneh, Caleb was a descendant of the land that he was going back into. He was a Canaanite. His family had come out having nothing. And now he's going back in under promise and covenant. And he's about to inherit everything. Ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, the other spies got together, and they decided they wasn't going to bring back any fruit because they didn't want to encourage the people. At which time Caleb drew his sword out and see it either pick up the grapes or it's you or me. In other words, it's going to end right here. Amen. He was not going to let them lie. He was not going to let them come against this thing. And so they ended up bringing the fruit out because Caleb drew a sword and said, pick them up, boys. Amen. We're going to bring it back. Every once in a while, we need some people, some men of courage that'll stand up and say, enough of this foolishness. Amen. We need some Greg Abbotts. And did I say that? Amen. Amen. We're going to stop this foolishness. We're going to bring this thing back into order. Amen. And so Caleb said, guys, we're going to carry the grapes out. And we're going to show them. And when they got out the tent, 10 spies, they began to say, oh, no, it's a terrible place. There's giants. And they were so big, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight and in their sight, which I understand it because what I don't understand why all this is trying to be covered up. There's been giants for years. Even here in America, there was giants all over America. And the Smithsonian, every time they find bones of giants here in America, the Smithsonian buys them and hides them. I don't understand. What is it they're trying to hide? What are they afraid of? But there was giants, and these giants were huge. There are reliefs in Egypt walls painted of these giants holding full-grown lions in their arms like little kitty cats. That was their cat. That was their home pet. Carrying a full-grown lion around like a pet under their arm. I can't even imagine. So they said, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. What can we do against them? But remember, God told them before he sent the spies in, he said, go in and check out the land which I'm giving to you. Caleb grabbed hold of that word. And when they brought back an evil report and said, no, we can't go in, Caleb rose up and said, we can take it and let's go in now. Let's go in at once. Let's go do it right now. I mean, he was ready. He was one of those guys that most churches today calls crazy. Radical. Amen. You're radical. Radical. And yet they praise guys that rip their shirts off in single-digit weather at football games and screams and hollers and jumps, and they praise them. Come on, somebody. They brag about that, but somebody that stands up and declares that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he can redeem us, he can change us, he can heal us, he can deliver us. They call us crazy. I got to tell you something, we're not crazy. We just got a hold of a truth that nobody can steal from us. They can't take it from us. They can't get it out of us because we've already believed it. We know who we are. We know who our Lord is. We know who God is. We cannot be deceived out of this thing. Amen. And Caleb said, listen, I came from the place of no blessing. I came from the place of no come. I came from a family that was cursed, but now I've been grafted in. I've come under the blessing. I know where I came from, and I know where I'm at right now, and you're not going to take this from me because I'm not going back to the place of no blessing. I'm not going back to a place with no covenant. I am under covenant. I've been grafted in. I've been adopted. I now possess this land because God said I do. Hallelujah. So Caleb declared the word of the Lord. He said in chapter 14, verses 8, through 9, he said, the Lord is with us. Hallelujah. The Lord is with us. Praise God. In chapter 14, verse 24, God said this about Caleb. He said, Caleb just has a different spirit. Amen. He said he's going to go into the promised land. The rest of you aren't going to inherit it, but Caleb's going to go in because he has a different spirit. I don't know about you, but I want to have a different spirit. I want God to look down at me and say, he's got a different spirit than the world, than from everybody else. He believes, therefore he's going to go in, he's going to inherit the promises of God. Now, I want you to know, I want you to grab hold of this. Caleb was adopted in. He got to marry the sister of the one that God picked to lead them. He came into the royal family, so to speak, and they gave birth to a child by the name of Hur. And then Caleb was picked to be the leader of the tribe of praise. He went from sorrow and crying to being the leader of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, I need some people today can stand up and say, I'm going to be the leader of praise. I'm going to stand up and praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what's happened in my life. I might have come out of the wilderness, but I'm going to praise the Lord. I might have been robbed, but I'm going to praise the Lord. Things might not be going very good in my life, but I'm going to stand up and praise the Lord. I will bless his name at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that's within me, I bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of my iniquities, who heals all of my diseases, who delivers my life from destruction. I cannot be destroyed. Are you listening to me today? I cannot be destroyed because I've been delivered from destruction. The devil cannot take me down as long as God is holding me up. Hey! Woo! Glory. Every time the devil tries to knock me down, I got a catcher. In Pentecostal charismatic churches, we got catchers, you know. Brother Chuck went down on some of them last night. It was like a tree falling. He just took them on down with him. Amen. But I've got myself a catcher. Every time the devil comes up and tries to knock me out, God's standing behind me and he puts me right back up. He won't let me be knocked down. He won't let me be knocked out. Why? Because my faith is in the Lord our God, and he is with us. He has come with us. He has made promises that he will never not lie about. He will keep. Hallelujah. Yeah. Every time the devil tries to take breath out of my body, God breathes right back into me. Come on, somebody. I know what that's like. I've experienced it. I know what it's like to all of a sudden get breath and rise up. God is a good God. He will not let you be destroyed. Praise God. And he crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. I got a crown on my head that says I am blessed of the Lord. And the crown on my head says that I am worthy of the loving kindness and the tender mercies of my God. I'm not cursed. I can't be cursed. The devil can't bring a curse on me because my crown says I am blessed. My crown says I'm under his loving kindness and his tender mercies. Caleb said, you're not sending me back out there. I'm not going back out into the place of no blessing. No. I've got covenant and I'm going to hang on to it with everything I've got. And God says, oh, you got a different spirit. And everybody else might not, the rest of these guys aren't going to inherit anything, but you're going to go in, and not only are you going to go in, but you're going to inherit the one with no covenant, and the one with no blessing is going to inherit a place called Hebron. That's where Jerusalem is at right now. That's where the forefathers are buried. It's the place of anointing. It's the place of establishment. And that one that had no covenant was able to inherit the place of covenant. Ha. Now Caleb himself was given the fringe. He settled on the fringe of Hebron. Oh, I don't know where I'm going to go from here. There's so many different directions. I'm at a crossroads and I'm trying to figure out what road to take. Hallelujah. Glory. Caleb. I'm just going to have to go with it. Matthew. I'm going to go back to Matthew. Matthew, look there, I had it marked. Matthew 15 and verse 27. Let's back up. It's a woman. It's in verse 21. It says, then Jesus went out. I preached on this here a while back that she didn't have a seat at the table, but God, Jesus ended up answering her prayer anyway, and I wasn't sure exactly why, but then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was saying, you don't have a seat at the table. You're from Canaan. You're a descendant of Esau. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Come on. You're going with me. You're already getting there. Come on, somebody. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You think Jesus was just trying to insult her? No, he was going back to history. He was going back to the thing that happened. And the dog named Caleb came in. It didn't belong to him. He should not have been able to inherit it. And yet God gave him the holy place, the land of Hebron. And Jesus was looking at this Canaanite woman. He knew she knew history. And he said, it's not meet to give the children's bread to the Calebs. And immediately, it rose up inside her. She goes, oh, I know who he's talking about. And she said, oh, yes, Lord. But even the little dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Hallelujah. She was saying, yeah, but Caleb inherited, and I'm laying hold of the faith that Caleb had, and I'm standing in that same faith. I'm going to get what I have. I've come and I've yielded myself to the son of Jacob. I've yielded myself to Yeshua. I've yielded myself to the covenant and the blessing. I'm bowing down to the covenant and blessing right now. And just like Caleb went into the promised land and inherited Hebron, I am here coming under the blessing of the Lord. I know you're going to adopt us later on, but I'm claiming the blessing of Caleb right now. And Jesus said, lady, your faith, hallelujah. It's time for the people of God to rise up in faith and say, I know what belongs to me. I know what Jesus did for me. I know the covenant that I have today. The devil try to steal this stuff from you. Try to discourage. Did you know the devil can't take anything away from you? He just has to get you so discouraged you give it away. He's just trying to get you to be Esau and give up your birthright because my bills aren't paid and this ain't going right in my life and that ain't going right in my life and I feel cheated and I feel sorry for myself and I feel like everything's just going wrong and nobody likes me and nobody loves me and nobody helps me. And Esau come in with his birthright and didn't value it none at all and just gave it away because his needs were not being met. But I want you to know something. That birthright you have through Jesus Christ is the most valuable thing you have, and you're to hang on to it. You're to guard it with everything in you, and it doesn't matter what the devil tries to do, but refuse to be Esau. Refuse to give it up. Refuse to let it go, because that birthright makes you qualified for the blessing, a double portion of the blessing of God, and I know who I am in God. Can you say that with me today? I know who I am in God. People might betray you. They might abandon you. People might do you wrong, but don't let people steal from you the very thing that God gave you. Amen. The devil wants to discourage you to the point that you give it up, but we got to refuse and say, no, I will not give it up. We got to go out like Jacob and hang on and say, I'll wrestle with you from now on until you bless me. I'm not going to give it away. I'm not going to give it up. I'm going to fight until I get what God promised me. I will not let go. One of the problems we have today in the church is we're following men that doesn't have a limp. I don't trust anybody that doesn't limp. You hear what I'm saying? If they haven't fought with God, if they have not submitted themselves to the crushing, I don't trust them. If they're full of themselves and full of arrogance because they've not been to Bethel and they've not been to the place of crushing and they've not been to the place where they've had to wrestle with God all night to overcome and to find the blessing of the Lord, then we don't follow those kind of people. We don't trust them because they're arrogant and self-serving. But I got to tell you something, somebody that has been to that place, somebody that's had to submit themselves and hang on and say, I won't give up, God, until you bless me. And when by the time God gets done with you, you might walk with a limp, but you're the most blessed person on the face of the earth because you have come into the right place and submitted yourself to the right authority. I'm trying to figure out what to do here because I'm wanting to just go right on through tonight. Amen. You don't understand, when a fire gets burned inside of somebody like me, we don't like for the fire to quit burning. Hallelujah. But I want you to grab hold of the promise today. You're under covenant if you come into Jesus Christ. If you bowed your knee to the Lord and you said, Jesus, you are Lord of my life, you're under covenant. And that covenant has made you a bona fide child of the Most High God. And he has no favorites. And he has no unwanted children. Amen. We all are in the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. And we all belong to that church. If everybody that claims the name of Jesus belongs to the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. That means we got double blessing. Hallelujah. Oh, listen to me. When your body tries to betray you, you bring your body to the Lord and say, Lord, this vehicle you gave me is trying to rob me and trying to keep me. It's trying to keep me from you. It's trying to keep me from serving you. Now I bring it before you, and I submit it to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, there's a difference between somebody that has a relationship and somebody just feels like a prosecuting attorney before God. I've seen people take the word of God and try to prosecute God with his own word to try to get what they want. That's not relationship. Relationship is knowing the word and coming before the Father and saying, I know what you said. I know who I am. Now I'm coming under you. I'm coming under your authority. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know how many times that I've had to bring this body to the Lord and say, Lord, this body is trying to hinder your work. Fix it. Amen. I'm dragging this thing into the repair shop today. Amen. Hallelujah. It's got to come under the authority of Jesus. Hallelujah. I heard a man preaching, and he said something that stirred me and grabbed hold of me. My goodness. He said, you cannot have authority over what you're entertained by. And so many in the church today are entertained by everything but God, everything but his presence. And yet we try to have authority over those things. You cannot have authority over what you've submitted to. We got to have authority today. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm looking for the day when the record of people coming to a worship and prayer meeting in America breaks Taylor Swift's record of attendance. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Where there's over 70,000 people pack out an auditorium in America just because they're worshiping God and praying. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, you're dreaming. Oh, yes, I am. I have dreams and visions. Amen. I used to have a lot of visions, and I'm moving into dreams now. I don't know if that's got something to do with all this gray. You know, young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams. You know, I don't know if that's what it is. But I've got a vision. I've got a vision for this area. I've got a vision for this church. Amen. And that vision does not consist of us building something great. That vision consists of us lifting up a great God. Hallelujah. In purity and holiness. That vision consists of the glory of God being so heavy that people can come into his presence and be changed. Where you don't have to give an altar call because people fall on their face because of the presence of a holy God. And they're delivered and set free. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to find out later what God did. Are you listening to me? Several years ago, and I don't understand this. I don't understand all the, you know, if this physically is possible or what. But I was in here praying in an auditorium, and all of a sudden, I began to see, just like an open vision, I began to see people coming to God, and the power of God was so strong on them that the ones ministering to them, the ones helping them, had to wear rubber gloves and protection because the drugs that was in their body was literally coming out through the pores of their skin. And I watched this as people writhed on the ground and the drugs was literally being forced out of their body through the pores of their skin. And I saw in this vision, I saw that we had rubber gloves on because you don't want to touch that. Amen. You say, well, God will protect you. Don't give me this hyper stupid faith stuff. Amen. Most of the people that tell me stuff like that can't overcome a headache, and it just really irritates me. Come on, somebody. I've got faith, but I also understand. Amen. And then this vision, this wasn't my vision, okay? So listen. Don't tell God what he's doing right now. Don't say, well, bless God, I've got. But I saw the glory and presence of God so heavy that people were being transformed in his presence. Now, we can't do that. We can't make that happen. We have to invite the presence of an awesome, mighty God, and he can do it. Amen. I've seen bodies healed without ever touching them or praying for them. I've seen people restored. I've seen demons come out of people without anybody having to say, come out. Are you listening to me? Because you come into the presence of an almighty God and everything bows before him. And I'm wanting to see the day when sin, disease, and infirmity and demonic power literally bows to the presence of God. You're under covenant today. And some of you in here have not been living in covenant. The devil's been trying to chase Esau back out into the wilderness with nothing. But you got to decide today whether you're Esau or whether you're Jacob. Jacob was a deceiver, but he came to a place where he couldn't do it anymore. He came to a place where he had to face himself. He had to face who he was, and he had to face what he had done. And he was confronted by an almighty, holy God. Father, Lord, I've already seen your power today. I've already seen people receive. We're not done. We're not finished. Father.